Welcome back to KMBR, the sports leader, and my guest today on Talking Baseball is a TV analyst for the Colorado Rockies. He also played outfield for the Rockies, Mets, and Astros. Let's bring in Corey Sullivan today. Good morning, Corey. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, nice to have you, too. Let's just talk a little bit about your career. You played 4 years with the Rockies, a speedy outfielder. I saw a record you broke in 2006. You were the 11th player in the history to hit two triples in the same inning. And I want to talk about these two pitchers, Jake Peavy and Chan Ho Park, two good pitchers. Tell me a little bit about that day you had.
It was April 9th, actually, 2006. You know, it's funny, when it happened, I honestly did not even realize that it was the same inning, as weird as that sounds. But, yeah, I was fortunate enough, you know, back then at Petco, the outfield was a little bit bigger. They had moved the fences in, and one left fielder fell down on one play, and that really helped. And fortunately, I got the second triple. But, you know, what's interesting about Chan Ho Park is the fact that he also gave up both the grand slams that Fernando Tatis Senior hit in 1999.
Wow, that's good. Jake Peavy. Yeah, Jake Peavy pitched here for a little bit, but of course he had some great years with the Padres, and I saw both those names. I'm like, wow, you had a hell of a day, Corey, because those are top name pitchers. Yeah. And like you said, it doesn't matter if the outfield falls down or not, it's still a triple, and you had two of them in the same inning, which is something unusual, but it's great to have that in your history bank.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that record, not my other one. It's a little more dubious.
Yeah, I read that one. We'll leave that one alone. Well, let's get into the Colorado Rockies a little bit. First and foremost, congratulations to the Colorado Rockies to get to 2021 All-Star Game. First time it's going to come back there since 1998. And I was looking at the 1998 All-Stars, Castilla, Walker, and Bichette. Some power hitters right there. And just a great time for Colorado again to host the All-Star Game. Tell me your thoughts about that.
Obviously, I think with you know, the pandemic that's gone on, I think every city is in need of some economic relief, and I think obviously there are a lot of small businesses, restaurants, bars that are around lower downtown that are extremely excited. And I also think the Colorado Rockies are an incredible organization, and they're going to put on an incredible show. But let's be honest, the home run derby at Coors Field in modern day, this is going to be, I honestly, I'm trying to get tickets. I can't wait. I went to the home run derby in Pittsburgh when I was a kid in 1994, and it was one of the most fun things I've ever seen, but it'll be nothing like at Coors Field.
No doubt about it. And I tell you what, those people in left field better bring their glove, because they're going to be pelted with some balls. The balls are going to be flying out of there. But that's what's great about it. That's what I think Major League Baseball did. They wanted to bring some energy. They wanted to bring some excitement to it. And I'm sure not just Colorado, but the ballpark is gorgeous. I've been there a couple times. The surrounding is beautiful. The city is always epic. And, you know, I just think it was a good maneuver for Major League Baseball. Again, you know, Colorado is something special, and I think you're totally right. The fans and the area need it.
Yep.
Well, let's get into a little bit about the Colorado Rockies. Starter tonight is Chichi Gonzalez. A couple relief appearances so far this year, but, you know, I kind of looked at I remembered him so well the last few years, and last year in a 60-game schedule, really hit a wall. He only pitched in six games. He was 0-2 with a 6.8, really didn't throw the ball well at all, and ended up getting taken off the major league roster. He ended up going back to camp with a minor league contract and pitched very well. He said he worked on mechanics, did a few changes on some pitches. What have you seen different from him this year than you did last year?
Well, I think the biggest thing, even from 2019 as well, he was coming back from Tommy John surgery, and he really struggled with command issues. That walk rate was extremely high, and as you know, if you're pitching at Coors Field and you're walking guys, you give up a couple of hits, the next thing you know, you're down 5-6-0. And I think last year it was kind of a little bit of the same, struggling with command, and his velocity has been up, you know, 91 to 94, basically. And I think the biggest thing was just refining the mechanics back to where he was pre-Tommy John, where he's able to really locate the ball. I think the biggest keys for Chichi are fastball command, much like just about anybody else. He likes to sink it. He likes to cut it. He'll throw it four-seam. I think there was a start last year where he actually threw 100% all versions of his fastball. And when he's able to do that and locate it and keep the ball down, keep the defense involved, he's able to be successful. If he's nibbling or making mistakes and walking guys, that's where he's gotten himself in trouble in the past.
Yeah, his first start of the year, and of course, the Rockies are trying to get a new image, and I think they've gotten some great players. So one of the guys that is really hot for the Rockies right now is Ryan McMahon. Over the past week, he hit 3 home runs in one game, but he's been doing it very well, hitting over 350 right now. Tell me your ideas of why this guy got so hot, and is he going to stay that way?
So Ryan, before last season, was really trying to shorten up his path to the ball. When he gets in the box, he had a tendency to let the barrel of the bat actually drop all the way down his back. And when he did that, that made his swing really long, and it made it really difficult for him to time fastballs. He got exploited on fastballs up and in sometimes. So he started trying to implement a little bit shorter path. We didn't really get to see much of it last year, and as you know, when you're working on things, sometimes it takes a little time to catch on. He also worked on striding a little more directly to the pitcher. He was crossing his body, you know, closing off his stride, and when you do that, your hands got to travel around your body, makes it long again. He's really gotten better at it, more efficient, that swing shortened up, and so far the results are pretty positive.
You know, a couple guys that we've watched, you more than I, but I've really watched grow is Trevor Story and Charlie Blackmon, both coming off a slow start so far, but there's more emphasis on them in that lineup. Let's talk a little bit about Charlie Blackmon. He was on fire last year, 400, 450 for much of the year, the 60-game season, and kind of tailed off in the month of September, ended up hitting over 300. What has he been doing different this year, and is he struggling, or is he just not yet hitting in that consistency as we know?
I would say he's just not hitting with the consistency. The thing with Charlie is he never seems to give up a pitch in any single at bat, but obviously he becomes a little bit more of a focal point in that lineup when you don't have someone like Nolan Arenado who you typically hit behind him. So he's got to be a little more selective. I think also he's gotten him to the point where he might be overly aggressive at swinging at the first pitch sometimes, and that's something that he's not typical at doing, especially when he was back in the leadoff spot. So once he just settles into kind of the routine of this season, because he's so routine-oriented that I think he'll figure it out pretty quickly. I don't see it lasting more than the week it already has.
Yeah, the strongest guy in that lineup, of course, is Trevor Story. He hits with power, hits gaps. He's another one that just hasn't started yet, hitting, driving the ball, hitting a ball. The last game against Arizona, he did pretty well. Do you see him coming out of a slump? Do you see any kind of changes that he's doing with his swing?
No real changes. I think the Dodgers series was an interesting one because there was a game he hit 4 lineouts to Cody Bellinger in center field. He ran them down, 2 in right center and 2 in left center, and they kind of laughed at each other after the 4th one. Then he kind of struggled the first 2 games against Arizona, and yesterday he had a double and a triple, barreled up all 4 balls in the game. To me, guys like Trevor, they just don't really find slumps anymore. When he was younger, he had a tendency to expand the strike zone, chase a little bit, but he's refined that, and to me, it was more about just hard hit outs for Trevor to start the season.
You know, another player that's been playing first base and also playing some third base is Josh Fuentes. I really like this kid. He really played well last year at first base, came into his own, hitting the ball very well. Does he fit into more of a utility position? Is he going to play more third? Is he more first base? Or is he just moving in with the analytics when they want him to play?
Well, I think it's actually more about the fact that Brendan Rodgers, you know, was hurt and didn't make the opening day roster, because he was penciled in to be the starting second baseman. And that kind of made guys start bouncing around, whether it was Ryan McMahon moving from second to third or, you know, Josh Fuentes moving from first to third. You never really know which way they're going to go right now. But for me, I've been amazed at watching Josh over the last 2 years because, you know, when you come up to the major leagues, you're kind of wide-eyed and you're just kind of, I don't want to say overwhelmed, but the game's pretty fast. And I think last year he was really able to slow the game down, and you could see the confidence on him growing every single at-bat. And I think now he really understands, you know, the game planning that goes into every single at-bat, whether it's, you know, a guy like Clayton Kershaw that you got to face, and you got to understand how he's trying to set you up. I think that's where Josh has made the biggest strides. And for me, whether it's first base, third base, the guy is an absolute grinder. He has grinded his way. He's never really been on people's radar. People always just referred to him as Nolan's cousin. And I think now he's establishing his name in the major leagues.
Boy, he sure does have a lot of similarities to Nolan. I mean, even the look, he kind of looks like him, the way he plays third base, and his swing path, it seems very parallel to Nolan. Let's get into the little pitching stuff as we talk to Corey Sullivan this morning. It seems like the starting rotation is pretty solid. The question marks come through the bullpen. Long relief, middle relief is really unsettled. Give me your direction of what happens in that bullpen once the starters leave.
Well, I think the biggest key or problem was Scott Oberg. Coming into the season, he was penciled in that eighth inning spot and obviously would close if Daniel Bard was down, but he had the unfortunate news of finding out he had more blood clots. He's had three surgeries on that. One was thoracic outlet. So that was a tough blow for the bullpen. That kind of shifted some roles where now you're looking at a Michael Givens or a Yency Almonte in that eighth and seventh inning. And as you work it back, the long relief kind of, it now falls on former Rocky again, current Rocky, Ulysses Chacin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of those things where I think Bud and his coaching staff in the front office are trying to really figure out the roles for five, six, and in between, only because, you know, it's Coors Field. You might have a week where your starters only go three innings and your bullpen's eaten up 35 innings in a week. So that's always the difficulty when you're at Coors Field and for Bud Black in the bullpen.
Corey, the fans in the stands, was it a big difference when you first started seeing opening day in Colorado and a 20 to 25% amount of people? Of course, this weekend's the first time the fans are at Oracle Park. Did you see and notice? Did you see some excitement?
So, if you watch the box scores, or you know that Trevor Bauer had a no-hitter going at Coors Field on day two, and he was throwing the ball incredibly well. And all of a sudden, the crowd just started getting involved. And the next thing you knew, it was 10-0 to start the inning. It was 10-6 at the end of that inning, and the Rockies hit four homers. And I swear to you, that could not have happened last year. I mean, you saw the games, no real energy, players trying to create it, and I felt like that was 90% the fans just getting involved in the game. The players fed off of it. They obviously ended up losing, but that made a huge, huge difference to me.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens at Oracle Park this weekend. Corey Sullivan, thank you so much for taking some time out on Talking Baseball today, and we will definitely stay in touch with you as the Rockies and Giants will play 19 times this year, so we'll have more time to chat as the year goes on. Have a good day and be safe.
You as well. Thank you.
That was Corey Sullivan. He was an analyst on the television side for the Colorado Rockies. We'll be right back on Talking Baseball. 104.5, 680 KNBR, the sports leader.